welcome everyone to another round of our March Madness roundup.
Well, I guess roundup is probably the better term.
I don't know basketball. I don't know any basketball terms.
We're here to talk about March Madness again, guys. What happened in the last matches? Who won? Who we thought was going to win? And basically, like, you know, come in and see who if our favorites are still there, because, you know, God willing, they still are.
Yeah, what Hal said. So, yeah, no, we're really excited. We are in the Sweet 16, which is definitely a basketball phrase that they use.
I'll trust you.
Yeah. Which is definitely a basketball phrase that we use. Man, this was an exciting group of rounds with a couple of really, really exciting fights. I know a couple of my personal favorites are you know, out of the game, but there's still a couple of cool ones left, and I'm just...
Well, I don't know who's out of the game. This is all going to be a surprise to me.
Well, no, I meant last round.
Oh, last round. Last round was the Heartbreakers, man. That was where everyone had... You know, that was where our childhood, like, fell apart.
Now, I don't know what happened in your childhood, but mine is still pretty intact. So we'll just get right to it. So round one in the Sweet 16 was Maleficent versus Jafar.
And that's an interesting one because they're stylistically kind of similar villains. In a, like the sort of the rogue sorcerer kind of way of it. I mean, obviously they're very different thematically, but they're, as far as you look at the animation style, they're very similar. But I feel like Maleficent probably took this one away once again because of being utterly the iconic villain of the entire Disney franchise. I mean, we touched on the live action film. I mean, that may have flopped, but once again, they got such a powerful actress to play her, and Jafar has always just kind of been like, oh hey, he's that guy from the Aladdin thing.
I mean,
right?
As I said last time, you remember the Sultan in Aladdin. Not much to overcome there, you know what I mean?
True,
like
true.
At least Maleficent looked like she had her work cut out for her. You know, and
I don't know, those three fairies couldn't bake a cake without magic.
Well, and you know, and Maleficent is terrifying, and I think just in terms of raw power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, she's a dragon. Like,
well, how many times are we gonna bring that up? She's a dragon. We got it.
Well, you could return with Jafar is kind of a genie at the end of the first one,
right,
which
yeah.
is also a very powerful magical creature, but I definitely think I'm thinking dragon, and so was our audience, because in round one, Maleficent took it home.
Again, this is not something I wasn't expecting. Not to say that Jafar is a bad character or anything, part of that whole Disney Renaissance era, but you can't beat this villain, because she's just become so synonymous with the Disney brand at this point.
Yeah, no, definitely. Round two was interesting. We had Ursula, right, our sea witch,
right,
from The Little Mermaid versus the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Now, I want to hope that Beast won this one, because I feel like he's much more the deserving character as far as a powerful, like, figure. And also, to some degree, like, I feel like, as I've said many times before, Ursula got defeated by a boat. I think the Beast could drive a boat if he really tried. I don't think it's out of his wheelhouse.
But, you know, I'm going to say Ursula has gained a lot of popularity in the past couple of years, you know, as just being a really cool character with a lot of neat ambitions. And just, you know, again, as far as raw power, yeah, the Beast, you know, the Beast might be this big hulking, you know, beast man. But Ursula, again, is a strong, you know, independent sea witch. Strong independent
sea
witch.
She's a strong independent sea witch. Anyway,
so this one was really interesting. Yesterday when I checked, the Beast was winning pretty much hands down. But today when I checked, in an upset,
wow,
Ursula won in the last day by just a couple of votes. It was really neat. Yeah, it's just...
I feel like you can't, like, ever deny the power of, like, of being a good villain. Like, as much as I may think the Beast is definitely a turning on of its head of the typical Disney prince, like, again, you can't count out how good of a character that actually was. I mean, I didn't think she was going to win it, though. I mean, that's crazy, though, that it went like that quickly.
I mean, I think it's neat just how long some of our villains have stayed in.
Yeah.
You know, back when we were setting up the March Madness, we were struggling even to think of a lot of very memorable Disney villains to, you know, that were going to go into the competition. And we know we didn't, you know, only so many people suggested so many memorable Disney villains, you know, so we couldn't separate the brackets up into, you know, good guys versus villains or whatever. You know, to see some of the most iconic ones like Jafar and Maleficent and Ursula make it this far, it's been really interesting.
Yep, because the good ones, they stick, and they keep using them, I think.
Yeah, yeah, in sequel upon sequel upon direct-to-DVD sequel. So, round three was Mulan versus Baymax.
Again, I'm going to say that Mulan took this one home.
I really hope so. Obviously, like, as fun as Baymax and Hero, you know, because it is, we're doing the pairing, right? As fun as Baymax and Hero are, you know, and really kind of speak to a new group of films and kind of this new age Disney renaissance, you know, with other films like Frozen and you know, Zootopia, which just came out. Mulan just, I mean, is just a really important character in history, in film. It's just a really, really great job, you know, kind of one of the last really great films from that first Disney Renaissance era. And it's just, you know, well deserving. So thankfully, our audience thought so, too.
Oh, I thought so.
And Mulan won.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she is, like, especially when I was growing up, that she was every girl in school's, like, hero. Like, everyone wanted to be her. Because she was the adventurer. She went out there, she took her destiny into her hand, and, you know, she got the sword fight and all this other stuff.
She also got to save China, which is not...
She got to save China, yeah.
Not a small thing. I don't know if you've seen China. It's a very big place.
She saved all of that. Anyway, but yeah, it's true. But it's just one of those things where it's like, wow, you know, that's how powerful a character she is when she was the trendsetter for that as it continued on and, you know, in Disney and other fiction.
Yeah, no, I think Mulan is... very great character and one of my personal favorites, so I'm super glad to see her still in the competition. Round four, we had Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right.
And then The Incredibles from The Incredibles.
Oh, jeez.
You know, despite my wife not liking The Incredibles, I still love The Incredibles, and it's hard to see Jack... I don't know. You know, like, Jack's a neat character. He's an interesting character. The Night Before Christmas is a fun film.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Jack's kind of a, I don't know, he's kind of a screw up. You know, he couldn't quite get Christmas or Halloween right.
No, we always got Halloween right. That was the problem. Even during Christmas, he got Halloween right.
You know, and he causes a lot of problems for himself and the other characters in the film. And it's as lovable as he is. I don't know if he's as impactful, you know.
I have to disagree. I feel like he almost created a genre, that film. I mean, I've said that before. Like, I don't know if we'd have Hot Topic as we see it now if there was not A Nightmare Before Christmas. And I hold true to that. I think that's absolutely true. I don't think you'd have goth chic as it is, or have defined gothic in that way, if there wasn't A Nightmare Before Christmas, if Tim Burton hadn't made this into what it was. And not to say that I credit that movie with everything, but to say that it didn't have as huge an impact as it does, to the point where that's still being sold even today, like, all that merchandise every Halloween, it's a movie that ties into two holidays so strongly that it's hard to ignore it. And while The Incredibles is a great film and an iconic Pixar film, we've seen the bigger and badder Pixar films fall to the wayside already. I don't think they stood much of a chance. I think they're a great family. I think they're a great film. I think they're powerful characters. But against the Pumpkin King? Eh, I don't think so.
You know, I think that's a really super interesting take on it. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, I guess really, you know, all of the people I knew growing up who really got into that goth chic, it all probably was really inspired by the films of Tim, you know, the style of Tim Burton and the stuff that's put forward by The Nightmare Before Christmas. So that's really interesting. But The Incredibles is the best Fantastic Four film we've ever had. And to be fair, that seems to be really hard to do.
Yeah, really.
And unfortunately, The Incredibles did win. But I think you turned me around. You did turn me around on Jack Skellington. Now I'm kind of sad to see him go. that outlook on it is really, really neat. So, yeah, but I think, you know, It's weird that The Incredibles have made it this far. I mean, there are so many amazing Pixar films that, again, are already out of the competition. But...
yeah, but I mean, I can see exactly why they would pick them, though, because, like, it's that family dynamic. It's the idea that concept is so hard to do and so hard to get right. As much as I still feel like this is, like, oh, Jack should have won this, and I genuinely do think he should have, like, I see where that victory came from. It's like, you identify with these characters. They're far more actual characters than Jack actually technically
was. And I think in today's era where we're super saturated with kind of these different types of superhero films, you know, we've got the Marvel kind of like, slapstick, modern camp sort of stuff going on. And then you've got DC with their dark and gritty reboots.
No laughs.
No laughs. I don't know, a film, both of the films that don't have, you know, they're films that don't focus so much on this heart, you know, and yeah. I think that that's something that's really cool to look back on and be like, oh, The Incredibles, this is a superhero movie that really has a heart. And so it's nice to see The Incredibles move on, but you turned me around, Al. I'm sad to see Jack go.
I'm glad I made you sad.
Round five is Hades, Lord of the Underworld from Hercules,
right,
versus Donald Duck from Disney cartoons.
Wow, this is another one, because I'm Ursula kind of threw me, so I'm kind of wondering, you know, because Hades is such a great villain, played by James Woods, kind of defined that character.
Oh man, James Woods Hades is just so good. Yeah. It's
a brilliant performance.
It's so good.
And he's a great villain in that, because he sort of uses the power of, like, deal making and just truth and honesty to its worst degree. Like, technically, he'll never rescind on the deal or do anything like that, it's like the house always wins kind of mentality. He's not cheating you, but again, he's the house. He always wins.
Well, somebody said this the other day. He's hell's best salesman. You know what I mean? Like he gives you that kind of like used car salesman fast talk, you know, and he's always able to convince you. He gets you to sign that contract, makes the deal. Just a lot of fun. But Donald's an iconic character. Donald is classic Disney, from classic Disney cartoons. He's been around forever. And let's be honest, out of all the characters on this list, maybe except the Beast, he's got the most temper. You know, all these other villains, they try to be calm, they try to be cool, they try to be collected. Donald, something bothers him, he's all out.
He just
gets mad.
But let's also say, like, he's the progenitor of the entire Duck universe.
It's true. He started a realm, you know?
A realm.
A realm of ducks. You've got, you know, first it was his girlfriend, and then he had nephews, and he is a brother that's, you know, Scrooge from A Christmas Carol for some reason, and then they went into other ducks, like mallards with Darkwing Duck, and yeah, so
there's
it's just
so much
ducks galore.
Just because of this one character, who in and of himself is iconic, in and of himself is, like, you know, in thousands of cartoons and shorts, and part of the reason why Disney went as far as it did is not just due to Mickey, but due to all of the people that were around him, your Goofies and your Donalds, who were just these characters that, you know, were other sides, had to be foils to your main character.
So Donald is carrying all the hopes and dreams of all the Disney side characters, all the second fiddles to Mickey's, but unfortunately, he did not last. Hades took the round.
But he's so charismatic, though. I mean, you look at that character, and he's powerful, both like in actuality and the fact that he's a god, and they, like, you know,
and you just don't forget it. You
no,
know what I mean?
You never forget that performance.
It's so well done.
Yep.
So round six, we have Mickey.
Yep.
As again, it all started with a mouse versus Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I feel like this could either could have gone two ways. One way was like just the landslide Mickey won because he's Mickey Mouse. Or everyone thought, oh, Mickey's going to get all the votes, so let's vote for Belle. Like this went either of those two ways. I can't see it being something that was like a genuine competition of like, oh, two titans fighting on a mountainside. I feel like this went really one way or really the other way.
What do you think?
I want to say Mickey won, but again, you never know, because people can trick themselves into having the person win it.
I mean, you know, look, I love Belle. There's something, you know, again, I feel like we say this a lot about some of the more modern princesses, yeah. But, you know, there was something different about Belle. She was educated, she had ideas and goals, and she made sacrifices for people, for her father, for the Beast, for things like that, specific ideas that she took and acted upon, you know, in a way that, say, Sleeping Beauty or Snow White never get the chance to do.
Right.
You know, and she's just a really relatable character. But again, you know, Mickey is the icon. And this round was really interesting because Mickey did win. Mickey did win, but barely.
Really?
I looked at some of the data and they were back and forth, neck and neck the whole time. So, you know, I wonder, is it that mentality that people are like, people are voting for Mickey. Oh, or, you know, everyone's going to vote for Belle, you know, but Mickey started it all. Let's throw him a sympathy vote. So, you know, it's neat. It's Sweet 16 and the mouse is still in it. I feel like he's one of those guys. He's going to take it all. Or, you know, I felt like he's either going to take it all or he's going to be out real fast. And I'm surprised he's in it as long as he is. That guy's surprised Donald made it this far. But Mickey, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, we'll see. I mean, once he starts fighting against other people that are like big, like, I mean, other characters that are bigger and meaner and like sort of like just as iconic as he is. Like, Belle's great, but she didn't birth the Disney Renaissance as it was. I mean, role went to someone who got exited out earlier in the competition.
If you think about one of the most impactful films, I mean, remember that Beauty and the Beast was the only animated film to ever win an Oscar.
That's true.
They decided that, oh, well, if Disney's going to keep pumping out these good ones, we better give them their own category.
Yeah.
You know, that Disney Beauty and the Beast might not have started the Renaissance, but it's peak.
It's defining moment.
The iconic film from Disney's, you know, nineties. The Disney Renaissance. If you want to, you pick the iconic film from that. It's Beauty and the Beast. You know, so it's interesting. It's cool to see that Mickey's still in it. It's neat. It's a really interesting thing, particularly just how Mickey keeps scraping by. Now, game 7, we had Mary Poppins, who was a surprise winner in our last round against, what's his name? The devil from Fantasia.
Yeah. They were tied, and then they had a tiebreaker.
You know, and what an interesting character.
As we've said, we all want to see that movie.
Yeah,
get right? Working on that, Disney.
So it's Mary Poppins versus Simba from The Lion King.
That's a tough one. Because you were talking about how Beauty and the Beast was like the peak of that Disney Renaissance. I'll argue Lion King was so much more the peak of that era than Beauty and the Beast was. And maybe it was the defining film from it, but Lion King is so huge. There's a cartoon series about it now.
I mean, Lion King is amazing. Yeah. The characters, what they did with The Lion King, the look of it, it's all beautiful. But I mean, Mary Poppins is in an achievement in and of itself. I mean, I don't know if you saw the movie Saving Mr. Banks out a little while ago, but the story behind Mary Poppins' origin and the union that had to come together to kind of allow Disney to make the film. It's just there's so much interesting story there. And then to see the film and to see the way it blends live action and, you know, stunt and filmmaking and animation and Mary Poppins just stands for something. You know what I mean? She's something that seems almost so anti-Disney now. You know, like the father in the movie is so very like, you know, count your pennies and save all your money and always be the person, you know, who's winning and on the top. And Mary Poppins is like, you know, you don't need that to be happy. But now, of course, we think of Disney as this huge corporation with all the characters and all the money.
And doing all those horrible things with licensing.
So, you know, it's really neat that she's made it this far. You know, and I guess as I said before, you know, to anybody facing any of the lions, you know, opposable thumbs really help when you're fighting animals. Mary Poppins did beat Simba.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know a few people that would be really disappointed.
Yeah, and I'm sad to see Simba go, but let's be honest, Simba made it much farther than his superior counterparts.
I hate to say it, but I'm really going to agree with him on that one. Like, Mufasa was far better leader. Nala was technically the leader of those movies he was in, not really Simba.
You know, and then let's be honest, as far as successful Disney villains go, I mean, Scar, like, you know, reigned for most of his lion lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
He kind of won, and Simba kind of came in his twilight years and said, I'm taking this back. Oh, when I'm old and I can't really fight? Yeah, sure, you can have it back. All right.
So, but that's super exciting. I'm really, really excited to see Mary Poppins go up against who Mary Poppins goes up against in the next round.
Yep.
So round 8, our final game was Stitch from Lilo and Stitch versus Genie.
Wow, this is going to be a heartbreaker for you.
Oh, it is going to be a heartbreaker for me. I love Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch was such an odd film when it came out, you know, when it came out around the time it did in the mid-2000s, when Disney was kind of hit or miss with films like Brother Bear and stuff like that. But what an odd film about odd characters and about, you know, the idea that everyone has a place and being accepted. And I mean, Stitch is like a freaking mutated alien experiment. As far as powerful goes, I mean, he's crazy powerful. But let's be honest, the genie is Robin Williams, and he is magic infinite.
Yeah.
And again, another great character. Like, really, again, another one of those things that defines the way we think of Disney.
Yeah, I would definitely say, like, that was beginning of getting stand-up comedians to play like, not necessarily the side characters, but other characters besides the leads in your film. And not only that, but it was that was the film that was sort of like, this is the boys' Disney movie, as it was often called, because it was really about the male character in there, the pauper to prince kind of story. And it was, again, Robin Williams' performance in that role is so unbelievable. Like, you watch that now, and it's funny. Like, genuinely, like, guffawing funny. And I like Lilo and Stitch. Like, Stitch is an interesting and cool character. But, I mean, that movie's very much defined by the time it's in, I feel like. I don't necessarily say that it can't hold up. I'm just saying it's... You watch the movie, it's very dated. It is kind of what it... I say dated, and I feel like I'm insulting it. I'm not really. I'm just saying that is the product of the time that I think it was brought up in, and the time that Disney was kind of... weirdly still finding its footing.
Well, it was a time of experimentation for Disney. We had films like Lilo and Stitch and The Emperor's New Groove, films that maybe don't fit into this kind of the iconic 90s role that the films had, but they hadn't yet found this new groove that they're going, new groove, Emperor.
There you go.
This thing that they're going on. But you know what? That's okay. Like I said, the genie's a really amazing character, and he killed it, obviously.
Yeah, there was no way Stitch was going
to landslide, you know. I love Stitch, but, you know, Genie took it home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. That's it for this round of Disney's March, of our Disney Power March Madness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see where things go from here, and I really want... I mean, I feel like... I know who's at this point, since we've gotten past the 16, who I'm going to say, this is who I'm going to vote to win. Because, like,
You've picked it. You know, now that it's narrowed down, you're like, this is the person.
This is the horse I'm going to ride on.
I live or die by... Who is it?
I'm going to vote for a genie from this point forward.
Genie?
I'm totally... now that he's this far in, I'm completely invested in that horse. I'm going to put all my money on that one. And I think that's where he's going to go. I think he's going to take it home for me.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I might be back in Mary Poppins. You know, just such, like I said, such an interesting that she's made it this far. And I think on those merits we said, on the merits that she seems so anti what Disney has become, yet such a product of it.
Yeah.
Makes her just fascinating. So yeah, I don't know. I think I might be.
Ain't we fighting in the next round lineup? Actually, since we both picked these horses, I'm actually curious if we're actually. You or I will be decided.
Take a look at the next round. Next round, we have a match against, you know, as long as I'm seeing these brackets correctly. So,
right.
You know, don't crucify me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
But next round, we've got a round of villains, right? Villain Titans. We'll have Maleficent versus Ursula.
Oh, I kind of want to see that. That looks sounds so cool.
Right? I would watch that movie, actually. Like, if that's not like the Disney show they have going on where the kids of the things are the evil villain. I mean, like, actually, you know, them fighting. So that's going to be interesting. We'll have Mulan versus the Incredibles, right?
That's an interesting one too, yeah.
You know, so that'll be an interesting one. But as I urge people to remember, Mulan saved China. The Incredibles, a city, maybe a lost island, I'm just saying. Then we'll have Hades versus Mickey, which...
Oh, man, that's a weird one.
I'm going to be so interested to see. Because Mickey has, since the beginning of our competition, Mickey has just been...
Barely winning.
Just been winning. Just been winning. So if you want Mickey, if you want this to go like as like perfectly as like, you know, like fitting as it could possibly go, and you're back in Mickey, don't jump ship now. Mickey needs your support. And then Mary Poppins versus Genie. So I'm going up against you, Al.
So we'll decide who lives and dies next week.
By next week, I'll already know if I need to find another character to back.
Again, I feel confident in who I'm behind. I feel like he's going to winning this one out. I feel like he's a powerful enough character. But I understand Poppins. Poppins has got our only live-action character left on this entire thing, actually.
Yeah.
No one else has made it this far. It's been fun. This has been one heck of a March Madness, and so much so that it's probably going to go into April.
Yep. So, actually, I think next week... No, not next week. Won't be in April, but the week after. You know, but that's how it goes. Thanks for joining us again for our Disney Power March Madness recap. And thanks again to DJ Lumberjack for providing us with this awesome Disney mix. Take it away.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.